Hi, this is Tina Wanamaker, and this is Standing on the Truth. Today, we're going to be talking about the concept of newness and how God desires to work out newness within you and within me. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 20. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 20. It says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold," or look, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." Please go ahead and tuck away the first portion of this verse. Do not remember the former things. And we're going to chat about that a little bit later. In this section, God says that he will do a new thing. He doesn't say, "I'm thinking of doing a new thing," or "I might decide to do a new thing." He says, "Behold," or "look, I will do a new thing." God is a God of newness. He is constantly making things new. Throughout Scripture, we find God doing new works. He has done a new work in his people consistently throughout history. Even as we just consider Genesis, we recall fresh movements of the Holy Spirit as we consider various revivals in our own history, the history of the United States, the history of Great Britain. If you do a Google search on this, you're going to find a whole lot of information regarding various revivals or times of renewal in past history. Now, we understand from Scripture that God will do further new works as well. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. The reference for that is Psalm 102, verse 24 through 27. He's going to create a new Jerusalem, Revelation 3, verse 12, and Isaiah 65. In addition to the former works he has done and the future ones that he will complete, God is right now desiring to do a new work within you as an individual. He has something new for you. What does that mean? The definition of the word new is something that was not existing before, something that has never been done before. Every year, we seem to have chicks in our house. We raise chickens. We kind of get around and we'll tell people that we raise children and chickens on our hobby farm. So I think every year, our children will beg us, "Can we please get a few chicks this year? Because they're so cute." And so when we start them off, we start them off here in our little mudroom. And they're stinky and they're loud. If any of you guys have had chickens or you know about them, you know that they can be kind of yucky. And what I mean by that is, you know, you put that clean water into their dish and within a few minutes, it's nasty. Those little chicks will go stand in it. They peck each other in the water and they go to the bathroom in the water. And pretty quick, the fresh water that we have put in, it's already in need of being refreshed again. The water is no longer life-giving, and it can even cause harm to them now if they drink it. Same thing is true in our relationship with God. We need to be constantly refreshed and refilled by him and with him in order to continue to be life-giving to those around us. Part of this process is receiving and moving with the newness God desires to create within us. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order to see this newness come to pass. We have to cooperate or move with the Holy Spirit if we want to see the newness that God has for us come to fruition. We must step out in faith where God is asking us to. We need to seek Him in regards to what He desires, not what we desire, but what He desires. And we need to be open to change. That's a big one for us, being open to change. If we're not open to change, then we are not going to grow. If we are not open to change, then we are not going to grow, because growth requires change. So let's go back and think about the chicks. With the chicks, we start them indoors in our little mudroom, as I mentioned, and we put a heat lamp on them. Over time, they grow, and we begin to shut that heat lamp off on occasion, and they start to get other foods besides the chick feed. We start taking them out to the grass for short periods of time. As they continue to grow, things continue to change with them. We eventually were able to leave them outside for longer, and then we cannot use the heat lamp at all and begin to give them small scraps of food. And then for the big move, they go all the way outside, and then they get introduced into the chicken house and the chicken run with the big birds. Their life is marked by change and growth in the beginning. So we know that we're not chickens, but in the same way, our lives are marked by change and growth. This change and growth continues. It's going to continue until we go home to be with the Lord. God is constantly placing us in situations where we are challenged to grow. He is constantly working out newness within us. Recently, a bit back, I was ministering in the jail, and I went to do an inmate visit. The interaction with her, it challenged me. It really did. Some of the things that she was saying, there was a deep negative spiritual issue there. And, you know, perhaps even some demonic activity. She was very, I can't even really explain it, but it was a very negative interaction. And as I was trying to reach out to her and encourage her in newness, in essence, in the Lord, and share the gospel with her, every comment I made was countered with a negative comment or an attack against me. So after I left there, I was walking to my car that day, and I said, Lord, that was really hard. And I said, why, Lord? And I got the impression that it's because God wants me to grow. He wants us as His people to grow. And I'm going to tell you something. We do not grow from a place of comfort. Growth and newness come forth as a result of discomforts. Discomforts. That day, I knew that I had a choice to make. I realized in that moment that I was discouraged and I had allowed an open door for the enemy. I was allowing him room to work, to bring doubt, to bring discouragement. I saw clearly that day that, you know, as scripture says, I could resist the devil and he would flee from me. And I know that that's a promise for me and that's a promise for you. As we submit ourselves to God's plan and then we resist the devil, he will flee. So I submitted myself once again to God's desire for that newness within me. And then I verbally resisted the devil. I said something to the effect of, God, I submit myself under your plan, your authority, and your hand. Teach me what you want to teach me through the discomfort. I receive what you have for me, but I do not receive what the enemy has for me. Instead, I resist you, enemy, and your working in my life. So we don't have to allow that open door for the enemy. We can take the situation, the relationship, the trial, or the thing, whatever it is, out of the hands of the enemy, and we can place it into the hands of God. Genesis 50, verse 20, we find Joseph telling his brothers this: what you meant for evil, God meant for good. These are the brothers that dug the pit, put him in the pit, sold him into slavery, talked about murdering him. These are those brothers. And here's Joseph saying, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So the same is true today, ladies. Whatever the enemy means for evil, God can use for good. But only if we take it out of the hands of the enemy and place it into the hands of God. We submit it to God. We must submit to God and resist the devil in order to see newness worked out within us. So again, God desires to do something new in you. Are you going to allow him to? That's a big question. Are you going to allow him to? Knowing what we just talked about, that growth comes, newness comes through discomfort. It comes through us taking whatever situation of discomfort we find ourselves in and submitting it to the Lord. It comes through recognition that maybe we've given an open door to the enemy. That's why we feel discouraged. But that door can be closed. Now we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3. We find the children of Israel. They're standing at the edge of the Jordan River. God had told them to approach the river, put their feet in. And once they did that, he would stop the water. This is a step of faith. This is a step of obedience by faith. So up they come to the Jordan River. The river was in overflow season. It was overflowing its banks. It was flood season. There weren't bridges. There was no little boat that could cross it. And in the natural realm, so we have the natural and the supernatural realm. In the natural realm, there is no way to cross that river. I've imagined them looking out over this river and wondering, how, Lord, how? How are we going to get across this thing? God, how are you going to do this? What's it going to look like? Sometimes, to move into the newness that God has for us, we need to cross a Jordan. The situation we face, it may appear impassable. We may wonder, how, Lord, how? How can I pass through this? God called the children of Israel to take a step of obedience by faith, and they did. He gave them a part. And as they were stepping out into the Jordan, they were giving God something to work with. God met them in their place, in their step of obedience. In their obedience to him, by stopping up the waters and allowing a passage through the Jordan on dry ground. In the same way in life, sometimes we might find that we're facing what appears to us as a Jordan. It looks like a river that's going crazy. It's flood season, maybe. the whole process of crossing whatever the Jordan is for us in that season, it works out newness inside of us. It accomplishes the plan of God within us. We must not fix our eyes on the river in front of us, whatever that might be for us, but instead on the one who made the river. We must not fix our eyes on the river in front of us, but instead on the one who made the river. We ask God in this place, what's our part? What is my step of obedience by faith? Then we step out, and God's going to meet us there. We're giving him something to work with, and he will. Newness will come. Don't get fixed on the rushing river before you, whatever that situation might be. Don't get fixed on that. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look beyond the situation, the trial, the problem, whatever it might be. Get God's perspective in this. The river, crossing that river, is a gateway to further newness and growth. The process of moving through this area of discomfort is going to lead you to something deeper in Christ. And then, after that, step out in faith into that newness. So we could say, ask, step out, and walk. Ask, number one, ask God what your step of faith is. Ask him, just ask him, God, what's my part here? The second thing, too, step out in obedience to what God has shown you. Whatever it is that he tells you, do it. Step out. And give him something to work with. Number three, walk. And then walk in the newness God has brought. Hold your position. Enter further into the promised land. Learn how to do life in this new place, on this new level, in this new level of relationship with Christ. We have to learn how to walk in the new place. We don't just know. Once we're past that Jordan, once we've moved through the discomfort and God's brought us into a deeper place in him, then we need to ask God, God, help me to walk this place out. Walk, do it well here. Train me to walk in this position, in this place, in this newness that you've worked out in me. And we need to stand fast in this place because, you know what? Enemy doesn't want us to stay here in the new place. He wants us to get back across the Jordan. Just go back. Go back to Egypt. Right? Isn't that what the children of Israel, that's part of their complaint. Why'd you bring us out here, Moses, to die? We could have just stayed in Egypt in bondage. Let's go back. That's what the enemy wants for us. He wants us to enter back into bondage. There's been somebody that I've been talking to recently. The Lord made a divine connection with a woman. And we've been chatting. And the enemy is just calling her. Just come back into bondage. Come back into the old lifestyle. Come back. She knows the newness of Christ because he brought her into it. But she's considering going back because it's easy. It's easy to go back. It's hard to hold your position in Christ in the newness that he's worked out in you. It's hard. It can be a battle to do that. But those of us who've walked with the Lord long enough, we know it's worth it. We know it's worth it. There's nothing apart from Christ. Jesus, in the Gospels, he asked his disciples, some of his disciples began to leave him because his teachings got hard. And he asked the 12, "Are you also going to leave me?" And they said to him, "Lord, where would we go? Because you have the words of eternal life." Where would we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else. There's nowhere else that I would rather be than with my Lord and Savior. Even when things get hard, Jesus is worth it all. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who has redeemed us. He's the one who went to the cross for us. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now today, we benefit from what he did. And still, God's working out newness within us. He uses the difficult things in life to teach us, to grow us, to bring us into a place of newness in Christ. I think we need to keep in mind, though, that that newness in Christ is not just for us. It's for the benefit of the body as a whole. We need to share that newness, not keep it to ourselves. That's not the purpose of it. It needs to go forth. It needs to encourage those around us. It needs to be seen. Blessings on you today.